Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
But first, a good sense end of the hour answer. Who was the last unanimous number one to go on and win the national championship? It goes all the way back to Florida on February 12th, 2007.
Wow, how about that? All the way back in 2007. That's an awesome one, Curtis. I love that one. Let's talk some college basketball. We just gave away Good Sense, goodsensesubs.com. Put your order in tonight. Get you a party tray for the Super Bowl if you want. That's what we did for the AFC Championship game. A couple of party trays at my house, Good Sense, the pillowy soft bread. They bake fresh twice each day. Slice the meats and cheeses right in front of you. Found it in Lenexa, Kansas. Why wouldn't you get some Good Sense tonight? Go to goodsensesubs.com. Make sure you're part of that loyalty club. Get 10% back. Let's talk to Gary Parrish. He's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Of course, you can walk right in and see the same experts that care for the Kansas City Chiefs at the walk-in clinic. That's right. If you suffer an orthopedic injury in everyday life or playing sports, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and all in Overland Park. Open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturdays, it's 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. Gary, my friend, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
Very good. No complaints whatsoever. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs back in the Super Bowl. You know, Gary, where they belong.
Of course.
Here in Kansas City, it's like a birthright, the Super Bowl, really. It's what it is. We like the calendar of the Super Bowls to give us an array of places to visit this time of year because we know we're going to be there.
You know what? Like, I'm not an NFL expert, but they were my pick to make it out of the AFC, and it starts with the guy at quarterback. I'll be honest, I was a little concerned with the high ankle sprain. I didn't know how big of a factor that would be in the AFC Championship game, and it was clearly a factor, but not one that could not be overcome. The best team in the AFC is playing in the Super Bowl as it should be.
Do we have the best team in the Big 12 playing tonight here in a little bit? Like we said, we're going to hand it over here in just a few minutes to the Jayhawk Radio Network, KUK State, whereas the Texas Longhorns proven that maybe adversity is making them even stronger after what went down with their coach.
I really think the truth is when you're talking about the Big 12 is that on any given week, you could make a fairly intelligent argument for one of maybe five or six different teams to be the quote unquote best team in the Big 12. Obviously, Texas is on that list. Two teams playing each other tonight, Kansas and Kansas State would be on that list. There are certain times when Iowa State looks like that team, certain times when TCU looks like that team, certain times when Baylor looks like that team. Right now, Texas is alone in first place in the Big 12 standings and, according to KenPom, projected to win the outright league title. But obviously, Kansas is right there. The Jayhawks are ninth at KenPom, one spot ahead of Texas, and you know that makes them the highest-ranked KenPom team in the Big 12. Ultimately, I'm going to continue to think Kansas is going to get at least a share of this Big 12 title until it becomes unlikely relative to what's left on the schedule. But you know, like we've talked about before, I won't be surprised if we have three, maybe even four teams tie for the conference championship. There's a lot of really high quality basketball teams in this league, which is among the reasons it ranks as the best league in the country by a pretty clear margin.
The Gary Parrish 25-1 has the Kansas State Wildcats at 3 and the Kansas Jayhawks sitting at 8. You mentioned KenPom, and it is always, I think, kind of fun to watch and follow what happens based upon what they think is going to happen. We've talked about it a lot, that it's a metric. It's predictive, you know, all the different things. It's not a resume builder and everything that goes into it. But the odds makers for this game tonight between Kansas and Kansas State have K-State is an 8.5-point dog. Like, we get it. It's home court advantage. It's Allen Fieldhouse. You can be higher ranked. You can have a better resume and still be catching a lot of points. Does that seem like a lot of points to you?
It does seem like a lot of points. But again, the betting markets don't pay too much attention to the top 25-1 or the AP poll or the coaches poll. This is all an algorithm. This is what the computer is telling them the number should be. Like, if you go to KenPom right now, it has Kansas as a 7-point favorite projected to win 76-69. And the betting line is almost always going to be either what KenPom projects or within a point or two of it, as long as injuries aren't considered a factor. The explanation in the simplest of terms is that though Kansas State has what I believe is a resume worthy of a number one seed in the NCAA tournament right now, the computer numbers don't line up with that. They're 16th in the net, 25th at KenPom, 34th at BPI, 22nd at Sagarin, 20th in Torvik. There is literally no computer number that exists that matches where Kansas State would fall on a seed line right now based on the body of work Jerome Tang's program has produced. And that's the explanation for the big number tonight on this Kansas-Kansas State game. Obviously, that's going to lead a lot of people, I would think, to say, hold up, I'm just going to take this Kansas State team that we've seen win big games on the road, plus 8 points and feel good. But I've been watching this stuff long enough to know if you think that that number is inviting you to do something, there's a good chance that you are walking into something you don't want to be involved in.
Yeah. And like the odds makers know that the 8 points, you know, that odds out there, while there's also KenPom, which is a very popular website that's saying it's a 7 point game. So to me, that says they're begging you to bet K-State. So that's right. I'm on Kansas minus the points. Does that make me cool?
Well, that makes you on the side that I'm certain the sharps would be on tonight. These things are unpredictable largely. Even the best gamblers in the world don't hit incredible, you know, winning percentages when it comes to this stuff. But I would say most times when something looks off to a casual gambler, there's a reason why they are inviting casual gamblers to jump on this game in this particular way. And certainly, if you look at Kansas, Kansas State, you know, two of the best teams in the country playing each other. Kansas State has already beaten the Jayhawks once. You might think on a surface level, 8 is too much, but that is more or less what the algorithms are spitting out and saying the Jayhawks should be favored in this game. Again, Kansas State at this moment, this very moment we're talking, I think has a superior resume to Kansas. Now that might be flipped around tomorrow. You could argue that Kansas wins this game tonight and they already got more quarter one wins than everybody else. 8. Purdue has 7, ranked number one in the country. If you win tonight, that's 9 quarter one wins. It is sort of remarkable that I don't know that panic really ever set in with KU and that 3-game losing streak, but this time last week, as recently as last week, Kansas was on a 3-game losing streak. As recently as tomorrow, the Jayhawks could be a projected number one seed in the NCAA tournament based on a super strong body of work and what would be 2 more quarter one wins than anybody else in the country.
Yeah, and nobody was shocked when Kansas beat Kentucky if they listened to this show, if they listened to you on here, because you pointed out they'd never lost 4 in a row under Bill Self, and you said, I don't think they're going to. I think they will beat Kentucky. The game went as you thought it would go. What did you take away from them handling Kentucky, a team that had been playing better basketball?
Well, first off, it was weird in the sense that John Calipari had sort of, I don't want to say lucked into a lineup combination, but certainly stumbled into it based off of injuries. My point being, his starting backcourt all year long had been Xavier Wheeler and Cason Wallace. And when Xavier Wheeler suffered an injury, he went to a lineup featuring Cason Wallace, CJ Frederick, Antonio Reeves, Jacob Toppin, and Oscar Tshiebwe. Now, before he went to it, there was a small sample size with those 5 guys on the court together that said that was Kentucky's best lineup combination and maybe one of the best lineup combinations in the country. And they used it to beat Tennessee. They had used it to get their season turned around. And then he doesn't use it a single minute in the first half against Kansas. I have no idea why. It's like the data is undeniable. Like that would be a sin in the NBA to have a lineup combination where the data is telling you this is your best five player combination by a wide margin. To not play it would be a sin. And for whatever reason, John didn't play it a single minute in the first half against Kansas. And so we'll see where Kentucky goes from here. But Kansas, you know, like I said last week, I was never concerned about the 3-game losing streak because I think the context matters. You know, 2 of the losses were on the road. All 3 were to top 15 teams. One of them was in overtime. I would argue about 90 to 95% of college basketball teams in the entire country would have gone 0-3 in that stretch that Kansas went 0-3 on. Now, you don't want to lose by 20 plus at home to TCU. I get that. But one of the things I said as the week progressed last week is, because on CBS Sports HQ and other places, are you concerned about Kansas's 3-game losing streak? My answer My answer more or less became, I'm not concerned about the 3-game losing streak. If it's 4, let's talk, but I don't think it's going to get to 4. And so now here we are, they win in Lexington. If they are to win tonight as a pretty significant favorite, you could wake up tomorrow and remain in position to win another Big 12 title. But also, like, when Jerry Palm, Joe Lenardi, and anybody else who does a bracket updates their brackets, I won't be surprised if Kansas is a number one seed.
Yeah, no, I won't either. Go back to the Jerome Tang angle on this. Is all the juice gone from Baylor because Tang is gone? Like, when you see Texas win, if K-State would keep this going and finish 3-4 games in front of Baylor in his first year, how concerned should Baylor fans be that Tang was a bigger piece of the puzzle than certainly anybody hiring coaches realized?
Well, that is always a possible factor. And I'll tell you another place where it might be going on right now, too. Gonzaga. You know, Mark Few lost Tommy Lloyd. And Tommy was largely responsible for a lot of the recruiting that was done at Gonzaga. When the Zags would go and get international players, like, Tommy Lloyd was the front man on all of that. And there were some people, like whispers within the sport, that once Mark lost Tommy, the level of player in the Gonzaga program would dip, and give it a few years and maybe they come back to earth a little bit. And I'm not really ready to say that's 100% true at this point, but it is undeniable that in the second year that Tommy Lloyd has been gone, Gonzaga is having one of its worst years in recent history. Although it's worth noting, Gonzaga is still probably one of the 15 best teams in the sport. It's just in recent years, they've consistently been one of the top 5. So losing a key assistant, particularly one who can help you X and O and can help you recruit, that's a real thing that can damage a program. I'm not at the point where I'm going to connect those dots yet to Baylor, because I still think Baylor is really, really good. And I think Scott is going to continue to get the same level of players he's gotten at Baylor, even in the absence of Jerome Tang. But it's crystal clear at this point that Jerome Tang was, and Scott Drew, I give him credit. He would tell anybody who would listen for years, Jerome Tang is a big part of this. You know, people would say Scott Drew has done the greatest turnaround in college basketball history. And what Scott would tell you on the record or off is that Jerome Tang needs to be in that conversation as well, because he's been a part of the biggest turnaround in college basketball history, if that is indeed what we were calling Baylor. So I think Kansas State's in a great place. I think Baylor is still in a great place, but I'm happy to look up in 3 years and see where we're at then.
Tell me, what does this game mean for recruiting, right? Like, the state of Kansas has a handful of players. Sunrise Academy is big in Wichita, which brings basically kids from all over the country and then puts them within a couple hours of both schools. So I guess from an impression standpoint and just drive over and check the campus out, those kids that are there can be doing that. But overall, I mean, all of basketball is a national recruiting app. I don't know that anybody just fences in the backyard anymore. So what does this game mean for Jerome Tang? And, if he could get a second win against Kansas, is it still him selling his personality, or does this win take a kid who was like, yeah, I like Tang, he's fourth or fifth on my list, no, now he's number one? Or does it take a kid who was probably going to go to Kansas and go, no, I think I might go to K-State?
I don't know that the outcome of this game is going to be the deciding or determining factor in literally anybody's recruitment. That's not typically how this stuff works. But if you are trying to grow the Jerome Tang brand, then certainly winning in Allen Fieldhouse, which is something that almost never happens for a visiting coach, would be a great place to grow that brand. I mean, it's the biggest game in the sport tonight. You could argue the biggest game in American sports tonight. And Jerome Tang's going to have an opportunity to improve to 2-0 against Bill Self. And that is something that will be in the, email boxes or text messages or anything else of recruits all over the country late tonight or tomorrow, if that is indeed true. So I think this is a situation where it's almost a, you go into Allen Fieldhouse and you see what happens. You've already beaten Kansas once this season. Nobody is ever expected to win in Allen Fieldhouse. Like, literally, there is not a team in the country that could play at Allen Fieldhouse tonight, and I would pick them to win, other than Kansas, of course. And so that doesn't mean Kansas would beat everybody tonight in Allen Fieldhouse. It doesn't mean Kansas would beat Kansas State. but it does mean there's nobody I would pick to win in Allen Fieldhouse tonight. And frankly, there's nobody I would pick ever to win inside Allen Fieldhouse other than the home team. So if you lose it, I promise you, I'm not going to drop Kansas State too far in the top 25 and one. I promise you Kansas State's not going to drop too far in any sort of seeding done by Jerry Palmer or anybody else. And if you win it, woo boy, now you're 2-0 against Kansas in your first year as a Division I head coach. You've got a rare win inside Allen Fieldhouse. It just continues to underline and highlight how great of a job Jerome's doing. But if he doesn't win it tonight, that's what happens to just about every coach who ever goes in there. It's a high-stakes game, in-state rivalry. It could ultimately decide a Big 12 championship, but I guess I'd say this. Kansas State can lose tonight and still win a Big 12 title. Kansas State can lose tonight, still be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Kansas State could lose tonight, still easily find itself in the Final Four.
Gary Parrish is with us here on the program. Missouri Tigers get a big win against Iowa State, 51 in the Ken Pom. What does that do for Missouri? I mean, does it still keep them on the bubble, just in? What do you think? I thought the Mississippi game was a must win, right? You can't be dropping one to the worst team. They handled business quite easily in that game and moved on. But I thought Iowa State was going to be a tough go. They've got LSU 128, Mississippi State 53, South Carolina 243. Should take at least two out of three, and if you're a tournament team, probably three out of three there. But this Iowa State win, how much does that punch up their resume?
I tell you, on Sunday morning when I updated the top 25 and one, I almost had Missouri in it. Literally right now, Missouri would be my number 27. And that's another team, kind of like Kansas State, just to different levels, where the computer numbers don't match the resume. The resume is actually really good for a team with computer numbers that put them largely in the 40s or 50s. You know, Missouri right now is 3-5 in quadrant one, 4-0 in quadrant two. So 7-5 in the first two quadrants with all five losses coming inside quadrant one, zero losses in quadrant two, quadrant three, or quadrant four. That's pretty clean. That's a pretty clean resume. And I know they're getting most of their good stuff done at home, but ultimately, the main thing the selection committee is going to look at is exactly what I just showed you. 7-5 in the first two quadrants with zero losses outside of quadrant one. I did a whole list yesterday for something else I was working on that detailed how many teams aren't above 500 in the first two quadrants. Here's a list of them. Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Indiana, Creighton, West Virginia, Arkansas, Ohio State, Providence, Iowa, Maryland. Kentucky's a blue blood that was picked to win the SEC, below 500 in the first two quadrants. Duke is a blue blood, preseason top 10 team, below 500 in the first two quadrants. North Carolina, your preseason number one, picked to win the ACC, below 500 in the first two quadrants. Indiana, blue blood, was projected to win the Big Ten, below 500 in the first two quadrants. So Missouri is in a really good spot right now. If, you know, I'm looking at the schedule tonight, like I've got San Diego State in the 20s somewhere. If San Diego State were to win or rather lose at Nevada, I think I get the Aztecs out of the top 25 and one, and I wake up tomorrow morning and I probably slide Missouri right into that number 26 spot.
Yeah, you mentioned the getting most of their stuff done at home in front of sellout crowds. Yes. Or 96% capacity. I mean, you know, Missouri draws a lot of its fans from 2 hours to the east in St. Louis and 2 hours to the west in Kansas City. Not that Columbia can't fill it all, but a lot of their alumni are a ways away. You know, that's a great thing. Like that to me is the best part of the program, that the people, they're not just winning games. People are buying in, and you need that if you're going to be successful at Missouri.
Well, it's a little bit of a chicken egg thing, too. Like, you've been getting most of your good stuff done at home because, in part, you have an incredible home court advantage. And then you have an incredible home court advantage, in part, because you've got a quality basketball team that's winning at home. And so it just feeds off of each other. These things are connected. And the point you make about them having to draw fans from an hour away or 90 minutes away or 2 hours away is well taken, because that is the case for a lot of college basketball programs around the country. Like in my home state, there's Mississippi State. Now, Starkville's not, you know, too close to Jackson, Mississippi, where a lot of Mississippi State alums live. It's not really too close to Memphis, where a lot of Mississippi State alums live. Like my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are Mississippi State graduates. You know, they live in North Mississippi, you know, just down the street from us, actually. And they love to get up on a Saturday morning, drive 2 hours, 2.5 hours, tailgate for a football game because it's once a week and it's not every week. And it's a party that they've been doing for years. It's asking a little more for those people to drive to Starkville from an hour away, 90 minutes away, 2 hours away, 2.5 hours away on a Tuesday night for a basketball game against South Carolina, or frankly, a basketball game against anybody. And so what you find at a place like Mississippi State, Missouri, Penn State, any other place that sort of falls into this category where you're not really near a big city and you have to draw most of your alums from a pretty sizable drive away, what tends to happen is when they're good, people say, let's make that drive. Let's go see my alma mater tonight. And when they're not, people just say, let's stay home and watch it on TV or don't watch it at all. And so, you know, it's very easy for coaches to say things like, we need you here every night, regardless of the circumstances. But in rare cases, is that going to be true? I just noticed it at Texas Tech last night. They did a wide shot going into overtime, and the upper decks were almost completely empty. And you just contrast it with what it looked like last year when Texas Tech was hosting Texas and Chris Beard. Like, you couldn't get into the building. And now there's thousands of seats that are empty. Why? Because I don't know if I want to drive the amount of miles I've got to drive to Lubbock, Texas to watch a bad basketball team. I'll go watch a good one, but maybe not a bad one. And at Missouri right now, they got people willing to make that drive. Why? Because they've got a coach people believe in and a basketball team that seems headed to the NCAA tournament.
Gary Parrish is the best when it comes to breaking down the college basketball. He's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You, of course, can see the sports orthopedic experts that can diagnose your injury, whether it's a sprain, a strain, a fracture, you name it, they have it covered. 435 and all is the location. No appointment necessary. Open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. It is 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. On Saturdays. Now extended hours on Saturday. You can learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sports medicine. That's kansashealthsystem.com/sports medicine. I'll start you with this, Gary. You said we'll get a prediction from you. You would always take Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse. What kind of score are you feeling out of this game?
I think anybody who listens to me on your show or looks at the top 25 and one every day knows what I think of Kansas State. I do not think this is fluky. I think this is one of the best teams in the country. If I were putting a bracket together today, KSU would be a number one seed. I have them third in the top 25 and one. That said, if I'm being completely honest, based on all the things we've already talked about, I think Kansas wins the game tonight. And I think probably wins it fairly comfortably. Something like 74-64.
My coach Jim Boeheim was jousting with the media again last night. If you had one word to describe Jim Boeheim these days, what would it be?
Can I use two words?
Sure.
Past retirement. He doesn't need to be doing this anymore. And I'm not in the business of telling anybody when it's time to go, but it's pretty obvious that his best years are behind him. Now, his best years are years that made him a Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame coach. He had an incredible career, one of the greatest careers in the history of coaching, but it has quite clearly lasted too long at this point.
Lots of time for you to gather more information and make a more educated answer about this. But right now, Jalen Hurts will or will not be a Hall of Fame quarterback? Just yes or no?
No.
Okay. All right. Like that. And then, of course, finally, and most importantly, cheesesteak or barbecue?
Given I'm from Memphis, I have to say barbecue. Otherwise, I won't be allowed back in the city. But I tell you, I enjoy both. I was on the sideline for a St. Joe's Villanova game earlier this month, I guess. It might have been in December, actually. But first thing I did after I walked out of the arena is there's a cheesesteak place literally across the street that I don't know if it was good or bad relative to what the locals think. I didn't have that much time to research it. It was just staring me in the face. And so I walked inside and took my tie off and sat down and had a nice cheesesteak, and I enjoyed it. I don't have the metabolism to eat those things every day, but when I do have them, I enjoy them. I'll lean barbecue, but I enjoy both.
Gary, you're the best, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. I'll see you. Bye.